Hello and welcome, folks. You're listening to WGLZ Radio, College Radio, where we are Apache Vocal. Hey ho, folks. How's it going? It's Taylor Vardy yet again, and I'm here with another professor here who works with students and just recently got pushed into being the entrepreneur professor. And I'm super excited to also work with her because I am doing entrepreneur as a minor. So hello, Professor Tina DeWitt. My apologies. Welcome.
Hi, Taylor. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show today.
Yeah, no problem. So we're just going to really get into this. Oh, my headset's acting a little weird. I apologize for that. But again, thank you so much for coming on. So we're just going to start it off with the basics, as I like to do with all the people who I meet. Where did you start? Where are you from?
I'm actually from Marshall County, West Virginia, originally from Benwood. I now live on Glendale Heights. I've been up there now for about 12 years. I love it up there. We have about 5 acres.
Wow.
Me and my husband do keep bees, so I have an apiary up there with currently 14 hives. We've been doing that for about 5 years, and it is very interesting. I told him when we got into it, I am not doing this with you, and here 2 years later, I was right into it. Now we get into the hives. It's on a weekly basis. It's what we do together, so it keeps us pretty busy. I also have a large garden. I love to be outside, so we have a big garden outside. Mm-hmm. Can process everything. We come from a hunting family also. I'm actually a mother of 4 grown children. I have my oldest is in Pittsburgh. My only daughter is in Florida. And my younger 2 are 21 and 20. And one is up here, actually still deciding what he wants to do. but they're all adult grown, so I'm an empty nester. So I kind of have to find something to keep my time busy because I don't like to sit still very much.
I guess you could call yourself a busy bee.
Yes, I am a busy bee. Yes, I like to be outside. It kills me in the wintertime when we can't. So we actually have a sawmill too. And so we do a lot of, we're starting to get into some woodworking and some stuff like that, playing around. So I like to play with the lathe, even though the wood flies off of it a lot at me. So it's fun. It's challenging, and it just keeps you, you know, how you can be creative. Just with a block of wood, what can you do with it? So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, those types of jobs are really cool. And also sawmills, that's pretty fun. That sounds really fun, even though wood is very expensive at the moment.
Yes. Well, and all the wood we've cut so far have been logs from our yard.
Gotcha.
We cut down a couple walnut trees. We had 2 cherries and 2 huge oaks fall. So we just take whatever falls in our lower yard that we have a little bit of a wooded area, and we plank it out. So we did the pine. So we're actually building our gazebo with half of our pine on the inside is the roofing. So we're having fun with using all of the wood. And we have sliding barn doors in our basement we're building to go along with that, all from wood from the property. So it's been fun.
That is very resourceful. Holy crap. That is very resourceful. That's what happens when you live in the countryside. You use everything that you can.
Yes. But far enough out, but close enough to the city. We're not very far out.
Yeah, I get that. That is from where I am. I'm like half an hour away from town, but it's still a lot of woods.
Yes.
But back to more of like the jobs. You've had a lot of jobs before you came up here. And when I've looked into it and you've talked about it before, you've worked at Bath & Body Works. Is that correct?
Yes.
Awesome.
I was there for almost 14 years. One of my favorite jobs. It was a very interesting job. Being in retail management, you see a variety of students or people coming through and out all at different ages. So it was always a fun job for me to work, and all the new products that would come out, the way you engage with people. So it was very interesting for me. I was also the controller at the Community Foundation for the Ohio Valley, which is a small local nonprofit, basically for other nonprofits. We do work with a lot of different donors and a lot of different businesses with the nonprofit community. We also do a lot of scholarships, so it was a lot of fun to do that there. I also worked with our investment committee and our board of directors there too. Pretty hand in hand, I met with them regularly about what was going on in the foundation.
That is awesome. So you've really, really been in the business, as you are literally a business professor in a nutshell as well.
Yes.
But now an entrepreneur professor.
Yes, I got flipped over into that this past year when we had one of our entrepreneur instructor had left. It left a gap. And knowing that I've had some different, with my ex-husband, I helped run his small business, and I had a small embroidery business years and years ago, 20 years ago, and running those two and how to do that, and working at Bath & Body with the different creative processes we had to work with. And then working at a nonprofit, I work with other nonprofits and people starting up nonprofits. So you have that entrepreneurship side point there of the creative creative issues that you come up with.
Gotcha. That's I mean, that is something to think about when you even work, because I also wanted to ask you about, like, the key details of, like, working in retail just in general, because you've worked in it for so long, even though it's just really one business, but you've also done other things in the past.
Yes. In retail or in business in general, I'll say some of the key things that you're going to have to pay attention to. One of the top things is change. No matter what, there is constant change. It's constant. It's every day. Nothing ever remains the same. So you always need to remember you need to be adaptable. Mm-hmm. Don't be set in your ways, because it's not going to be that way tomorrow. In many cases, you have to make quick decisions. You have to think on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to have confidence with your decisions. So if you make that decision, don't be like questioning yourself all the time. Stick with it and go with it. So if you have to make that executive decision and go with it, do it. Accept consequences if it wasn't the right one, and move on from it and learn from it. That's one of the big things I also tell people. Another, I'll say that I struggled with it for a long time, is being able to acknowledge when help is needed. Being able to acknowledge it and be able to accept it when it's offered, because you can't do everything by yourself. I was also a very independent person, and I would tell most of my crew when we would have floor sets or different projects, I would tell them, don't work at my pace. Work at your pace. Do what you're comfortable with and how you do it. Because I was a very fast-paced, moving person.
Mm-hmm.
But after I've done it for 10 years, I know it. I know it by the back of my hand. It's second nature to me. To others, it may not be. So that is another thing. The third one I will always say, and this is a major key, being able to receive constructive, what used to be a word is criticism, I like to say constructive feedback. Mm-hmm. I say feedback because you never want to look at things in a negative way. And feedback sounds a little bit more positive. Being able to acknowledge the constructive feedback that you're going to get and not take it personally to help improve you is very, very vital and very important. In any business industry, it will help you grow. It would help you get better at everything you do. And be able to see, okay, these are things I need to work on, things I need to improve, or an area of development that you can set, kind of line up for yourself. So is it very important to be able to accept that? That's hard for a lot of people, and I've run across that a lot of ways. And each person accepts it very differently.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to give that constructive feedback to many of my employees in the past, and I always had to watch how I did it with certain employees. Someone I can just flat out say it. Some I had to approach a little bit differently, because you've got to make sure that they're going to be able to handle it okay.
Yeah, that's definitely like one of the things as well, even with students, because some of them can be a little hard-headed. We're all stubborn. We all grew up. We're stubborn. I'm stubborn. I can say that. Full-heartedly, I can say that. But yeah, constructive criticism, constructive feedback is a big thing, just anything in general, not just with business or that, just even with, let's say, my radio internship as it is here, as my professor Jeff Easter gives us critiques to say, do this better, you're doing great, this is doing it great.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a good thing as well. But I've always wanted to ask as well, we wanted to know, why did you come to West Liberty? Why did you...
Well, I've mentioned before I have four kids. Well, I decided that I wanted to leave the retail, because you miss a lot of my kids' life when they hit high school, and I don't want to continue to miss everything.
Mm-hmm.
While I love the job, I realized that. So I came back late to finish my degree to get a better job, more of the day shift. And once I came back, and this was in the mid-teens, I realized that I really did love being in the classroom, and I missed it. My management role was training. That was most of my job, was training people. So it was that, it's the same concept of being an educator. You're training people. You're teaching people. So I realized that was an aha moment for me. This is what I was missing when I was working behind the desk as the controller of the Community Foundation. Even though I absolutely adored that job, there was something missing. So I decided to go back and get my MBA so I could be an adjunct instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I was content doing that, and then the opportunity was presented to me to teach full-time. So it was a hard decision to come in to teach finance and some general business courses.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hard decision, but I was like, this is where our true passion is. And I love the financial planning courses and being in that classroom setting. So that's what brought me to it. And again, a year later, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, was asked to come into entrepreneurship. So it's a way for me to really tap back into some of my creativity that I've had for years that I didn't get to use for the past five or six, and expand this program, develop it, turn it into my own, because it hasn't been nurtured in a couple years.
Yeah. And we did talk about that as well, even off air, just talking about it. You were just kind of given in. You didn't know what you were doing. And that's a little sad that this wasn't, because it's a really good program. This
yes.
is, like, I think this is going to really go, even if it's just a minor for some, or some classes just people have to take. I think it's really fun, and people do kind of need this type of class for sure.
What I realized when I was reviewing it and reviewing all the courses is that it's linked to so many other inter-college ones. It's visual media design, communications, mm-hmm. even community education. Some of the courses in the entrepreneurship were for them, so now students can now take that business minor or add on another business major if they wanted to do that also, along with what they're doing in that entrepreneurship. So if you wanted to start something smaller, I'm finding ways of linking things in. So I'm looking at the whole program and seeing how can I talk to some of these other students in other departments. And that's going to be a fun challenge for me next year, is to build the program back up, because there was talk, you know, what courses do we have, what courses do we need, how do I want to take the courses. So it's going to be interesting and fun for me. I kind of look forward to a challenge, the challenge of, like, redeveloping some of this and looking at it and making it my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that.
That is cool. Okay, so we'll be right back after these short messages. And also, just wanted to say one more thing. You're listening to WGLZ Radio, College Radio, where we are passionate vocal. And we are back. Sorry for that little hiccup there. I forgot to put the break in, but hey, it's okay. We all have little hiccups here and there. Anyways, folks, I am back here with Professor Tina DeWitt. I have said it again. I'm so sorry. Professor Tina DeWitt, we were just talking about how she came up to here and how she grew up in West Virginia. You grew up in Marshall County, is that
yes.
correct? And you have four kids. One of them is actually coming here now. And you are now basically, you have also worked in fine, you have also worked in retail. You have also worked with other things as well, such as like being a professor and being a professor of finance, a controller for the Community Foundation of Ohio Valley. And yeah, I thought that was really cool. Just looking into the details before getting into it, it's kind of cool to see what type of what things people do before they even come to this college, or just like in general. I think stories are very nice. But to kind of circle back into it, we were just talking about entrepreneurship, and we were just talking about how you also wanted to move on with the entrepreneurship class. You wanted to make it more, let's say, open, more fun, more something that'll actually be worth it.
Yes. Like I said, after I started reviewing the entrepreneurship and the other degrees that are in other departments that actually have a few of the courses required,
mm-hmm.
I have a better understanding of the types of students that are going to be take it. They're not just business students. So you kind of have to take a slightly different approach to bring in the business. They don't have the business acumen background that business students have.
Mm-hmm.
So while some of the courses, yeah, they're classified as business courses, I have to take a slightly different approach. And I'm looking at that, learning that this past semester, that the creative problem solving that Taylor's in with me, I only had, out of 60 students, I only had 3 business students. So they were from communications, visual media design, community education, and I think one's taking a minor that was in dental hygiene. So they're from all over. You have to think of how you have to change your process. If I use some business terminology, they may never have been exposed to. So how are you going to change the approach? So I think it's going to be a great way for me to change how I view each of the courses I teach
mm-hmm.
that are in entrepreneurship, especially the ones for the minor, and be able to expand it. That's going to work better with other departments. So I can incorporate that with the things that they're learning in those other classes. So I'm looking forward to that challenge and that process that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too, because I'll have to be doing this for the next 2 years.
Yes, you will.
Woohoo! But I've also just wanted, because you did talk about the creative process, and that's literally one of the classes that I'm in right now, and I just wanted to ask you, what do you think it is, what is the real meaning of it for people who may not know? Or just like, let's say it like this, creative process for business or just anything in general.
We're taught at a young age, and we did go over this in class,
mm-hmm.
to follow the rules, to do things the way other people are telling you. And you kind of, you know, as you're a young child, you're very creative. You have this wild imagination. And then as you go on through, everything is like by the book and your rote memorization. And so you're taught to follow these rules. And you're almost, your creativity gets stifled a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not until you get out in the real world do you see that. And even through business classes, it's very rote. It's very memorization. There's soft and hard skills. But we don't nurture those soft skills as much as I feel that we should sometimes. But when you get out in business, you better be creative in many ways. It can be essential to any business. I always tell everybody that everyone is creative in their own way. You just have to find how you are creative. I have many friends of mine who are in retail. They're like, I'm not creative at all. I'm like, you work in clothing. Okay, so you work in clothing retail. You put outfits together. You put things together that maybe they didn't come down together to make sure things match up and pair up to find ways of selling certain products. That's what you have to do. Even through accounting and finance, you have to be creative in ways. You have to be able to make sure you can get your message across. I work for nonprofits, as I've done, and it really shows how creative does a nonprofit have to be. You have to be able to meet your payroll. So yeah. Even in accounting and finance, how am I going to do that? Where can I make my cuts? Where can I make my changes? What can I do to generate more cash inflow to be able to meet some of my demands? So you have to be very creative in the business sense, especially from an entrepreneur sense. You have to be creative in how you're advertising and how you're reaching out to people. But look at all the other industries out there. If we didn't have creative people, there would be nothing new in the world. And you look at our digital, all of the digital stuff we live with nowadays. If we didn't have creativity, would we have been able to continue our classes on Zoom when COVID hit? So you have to think about that. We had all this technology, and then we saw it in many different lights and many different ways, and we were thrown into that situation. But 10 years ago, we would not have been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't have been able to have those group classrooms. So I look at things like that. So these are creativity ways that people are using creativity all the time in business.
Yeah, and business is a very competitive, well, everything in life is very competitive, even just being an entrepreneur, because once you get your name out there, you have to fight, basically, to...
And everything's run by business.
Yeah, it really
everything.
Is.
Hospitals, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
Colleges, it's a business. You know, radio stations, it's a business. Everything's a business. So, and everybody has to find their own creative niche in those areas to be able to succeed.
Yeah. Definitely, I would say when I did radio, that was my freshman year when I first stepped foot on here. COVID just happened, 2020, good times. I mean, it's still here. But just talking in general and just having the whole station to myself and doing little niche projects here and there for, well, that class and just having my own thing and talking about what I love, which is video games, it was very nice. And I'd probably... If I would, possibly do it again, but I pass a class, I don't have to worry about it.
You're going to have me in other classes, though, so
yeah.
we'll circle back to that creativity in other classes.
Yeah.
Because it's going to build on that. When you talk about some other parts of entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. It has to build off that creativity aspect.
And speaking of creativity as well, you also just did a little event dealing with clothes.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
It was through the Net Impact. We are the only collegiate chapter in West Virginia, and Dr. Maskey is in charge of that. She is the club advisor through the College of Business. Mm-hmm. But it was through a Wear It Wise campaign for Earth Day. And then she brought me and another instructor, and it was instructor of marketing, and we kind of went from small to, I'm like, oh, we're going to do it this big. And so we kind of, within a month's time, contacted many of the students and other people for clothes donations. And what we did is a clothes swap. So it was a very creative way to do this. We say, hey, you bring in 5 items, 10 items, we'll give you a voucher. You can come and exchange it for 5 or 10 items on the day of the event. We had great success. I think over 700 articles of clothing were exchanged, and we still have a stockpile. We're talking about doing this on a regular basis, mm-hmm. At least once a semester, if not twice. We still have a lot of things to work out with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can see a huge demand in how it was creative and way we were able to approach it. We get students involved. In our creative problem solving class, we did a brainstorming session. I totally said, guys, this is something brand new. I said, I need your input. This is not something set in stone. What do you think of this? And the students in this class had some amazing ideas of ways to approach it, ways to look at it, ways to expand it, ways of maybe doing specialty days.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we have a lot of feedback from that. In that class, I took that brainstorming and went into another course that was in marketing and explained to them some of the other ones, and they built on it. They're like, oh, I like that idea. So they actually expanded on some of it. So we have some great feedback for that. But that was a very, yes, creative way of doing it.
Yeah.
And students, the feedback we have from the students that participated is incredible. So they really liked it, had fun with it. I had mannequins donated from Old Navy. so we can dress up the mannequins. So they were having fun putting different outfits on them on a daily basis. So as we were waiting for the entire week, each day those mannequins had different outfits on them. So it was very interesting to see and how everyone was pretty creative and putting outfits together and watching students come in and shop.
Of course.
And it was fun.
Yeah. And by the way, what's the name of it again?
It was Thrift West Lib through Net Impact and the Wear It Wows campaign. And we are hoping to have the Thrift West Lib boutique set up this fall. We are working on that. There's a lot of stuff we have to work through, but we're hoping to be able to do this again, like I said, in the fall. But yes, we use the hashtag Thrift West Lib because we want to take the stigma away from secondhand clothing and make it sound more fun.
Yeah, because in all general, when people hear thrift, they think, oh, probably nasty clothes. But in reality, when I was also working there, and I almost threw out my back, not going to lie, because of how heavy some of the things were, there was some really nice clothes there.
Yes, it was great feedback, too.
Yeah.
And thrift shopping is actually becoming very trendy in the industry. So we're trying to like capitalize on that and help each other out, because we are up on a hilltop. There's not a whole lot of transportation. If you don't have your own car, you can't get off this hill easily. So we're trying to piggyback on that to where we can give them something else to do for a day. Hey, to come in and browse and see, can you find anything? So we're interesting to see where we can take this.
And you also said you were probably also going to use it for students who are unable to get, like, let's say for presenting, they need to wear a little bit of formal clothes.
Yes.
So you said you would probably have that as well to help?
We're partnering with some we want to do a clothes closet of a little bit dressier clothes for people to be able to do presentations. Because many people don't bring, if they're not from around here, they don't have a lot of clothes here. They bring very little. And again, if you don't want to just go buy an outfit that you're going to wear one time. So it'd be a great way to be able to go down and do a borrow for outfits when you have to do all these presentations or go on interviews. So you have a little bit of a variety. So we are working on that also as a, not necessarily be part of it, but we had another instructor that was one of her major goals. So we had said, let's see if we can work, you know, separate but together on this, to where if we have to get donations that can fit into her closet also, maybe we wouldn't be part of the boutique, but maybe partner with her to have that for students also.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I'm excited to see this go further and also work with it, because I did have a lot of fun. And then, as I also said, almost threw out my back. But hey, it's all part of the hard work.
Yes.
And again, I want to thank you, Professor Tina DeWitt, for coming on here and doing this interview with me. And I, again, really do appreciate it. I say it to a lot. There's a lot of, and also, you're an amazing professor. There's a lot of
thank
amazing
you.
Professors on here, just on campus. And yeah, sorry for my rambles at the end of it. Anyway, folks, I hope you have yourselves a wonderful week. This is Taylor Marty signing off of WGLZ Radio, College Radio, where we are passionately vocal.